it going, everybody? Jay Henson here for Out of Bounds. Hope everybody's enjoying their Friday. Hope everybody's got some good weekend plans coming up. As always, I'd like to thank everybody tuning in here on the Out of Bounds podcast, where I will be talking everything from MLB to the NBA and possibly anywhere else from around the world when you talk about cricket, maybe. Chess, I don't know. If you're into that, maybe. I don't know. We'll see. But got a good show here for you today. Get you amped up for the weekend. Try to get you some updates on what's going on around in the world of sports. As the you talk about the NFL playoffs. Well, there was a big, almost like a play-in game last night. Not really, but Chargers come up with a 29-28 win over the Kansas City Chiefs on the road at Arrowhead Stadium. There was a possible pass interference call that wasn't called. It looked pretty blatant. And then you think of that, and then you think of the two-point conversion. It's 28-27, and you see the receiver Williams caught the ball, Mike Williams. But if you look closely, he looks like he's bobbling it a little bit, even when he steps out of bounds. Now in the NFL, as you all know, you have to have 2 feet in bounds, not one like college. Well, I don't even know if he had 1 foot in bounds, but either way, it looked like it was bobbled a little bit. Kind of reminded me of the Ole Miss Vanderbilt situation that happened a few weeks ago. But nonetheless, they called it a touchdown. They looked at it. It was a lengthy review, and come to find out, they couldn't overturn it. So touchdown was called, and only had 4 seconds, and of course the Chiefs couldn't do anything with it. So now the Chargers, even though they're tied with the Chiefs for first place, the Chiefs still have that tiebreaker due to a better division record. But both teams 11-3, and somebody's either going to be the AFC West champ or the number one wild card, or host the wild card game coming up in a few weeks. But if you look at this playoff picture, like I said, Chiefs 11-3. So are the Chargers, who are number 5. Number 2 is Patriots, and then the Texans at 9-4, both of them 9-4. Steelers 7-5-1. Ravens, Colts, Dolphins, Titans all 7-6. Ravens have the tiebreaker with all 3 of those other teams. Titans have a lot of things to do this week. They've got to go to New York, take on the Giants, the G-Men, as Berman liked to call them. But that'll be a big game for the Titans. You got to give credit where credit's due. They've won 4 of their last 5, starting 1-7 on the year. The Giants have gone 4-1, so they're a lot better team than they were just a few short weeks ago. But Titans got to get a win there, and the Bucks, Tampa Bay, we'll see what they're playing for technically, because they're having to go. They got to go to Baltimore to take on the Ravens. So you're probably going to think, Ravens will probably win this. So if you're the Titans, just take care of business, get you a win. Doesn't matter if it's 3-0 or 45-42, just get a win tomorrow on Sunday at the Meadowlands. Hey, look at the NFC playoff. Both the Saints and Rams, both at 11-2, both have clinched a playoff spot. Also, the Chiefs and the Chargers have clinched as well. Just don't know who's going to win the West and who's going to get that number one wild card. In the NFC playoff, the Saints have already won the South and the Rams have already won the West. The Bears are 9-4, Cowboys 8-5. They lead the North and East, respectively. Seahawks at 8-5, they got the number one wild card spot as of now. And the Vikings have the number 2 over the Panthers, Eagles, and Redskins, who are all 6-7. Vikings are 6-6-1, as the Vikings will take on the Dolphins at home. So there's another team that's 7-6 in the AFC. So maybe that'll help the Titans out a little bit coming up on Monday if the Vikings can come away with a big win at home against the Dolphins. Probably going to be cold up there, I wouldn't doubt it. So we'll see how Miami does in that. But either way, should be a good one. Then you look at the other games. Cowboys going to the Colts. Colts are at home. It's kind of a toss-up. I'll tell my picks here in a little bit. But I just feel like here's the deal. Titans just going to have to win out. I mean, I don't feel like that. It's not safe for them to lose a game from here on out. It's the last road game coming up on Sunday. Get a win there and come back home and you take on The Redskins next week, the 23rd or 22nd, whichever one they've come up with. And then the 30th, of course, the finale against the Indianapolis Colts. But looking at both the Giants and Titans are ranked 27th in points per game at 19. Giants are have averaged 24 points a game, 17th in the league. Titans are averaging 319 yards a game. That's 28th. The Giants are averaging 354, which is 18th. Titans are averaging right around 195 yards passing. That's 28th. And the Giants are passing a lot better, 248 yards a game, which is 13th. Rushing, though, goes to the Titans. They've doubled the rushing yards for the Giants. 124 a game, which is 11th for the Titans. 106 for the Giants at 22nd. Now, you look at the defenses, and this really is a tell of a tape here. Points per game for the Titans, 19.5. That's 4th in the league. Giants are giving up just under 26, and that's 23rd. You look at the yards per game, Titans 334, giving up only 334 yards a game, which is 9th. The Giants 371, which is 21st. Titans 219 yards passing, giving up 6th in the league. The Giants, they're giving up 249 for 19th. And then looking at the run defenses, both teams are not very good with the run defenses. And for the Titans, that's not a good thing due to the fact that Saquon Barkley is one of the better running backs in the league. Even though the Giants are only averaging 105.9 rushing yards a game, Titans are giving up 115, which is 17th in the league. Giants, not much better, 122 yards rushing, giving up by the defense, which is 22nd. So all in all, good matchup, I believe. I'm hopeful that the Titans will win, but it's looking very, very dim right now for the two-tone blue. For my picks, I'm already 0-1 on the week due to the fact that I picked the Chiefs to beat the Chargers. Well, that didn't happen, so the Chargers won. Titans at the Giants. I like the Giants in that one. Dolphins on the road in Minnesota, mainly due to the cold weather. I got to go with Minnesota in that one. Cowboys at the Colts. I can't ever pick against Andrew Luck and the Colts, so I got to go with the Colts. Eagles at the Rams. Sunday night football, I got the Rams, and then Monday night football is the Saints at the Panthers. Saints have already wrapped up the NFC South, so I feel like they have no pressure on them, so they're just going to kind of, you know, just go through the motions, probably. Same with the Panthers. Even though the Panthers still have something to play for, they're, you know, just right there on the cusp, but I just don't see them beating the Saints in that defense and that offense coming up on Sunday. But talk a little bit of college basketball. Neither team, Vols or Vandy, played this week. Was a really good game in Louisville the other night, though. Talk about the Lipscomb Bisons as they went to Louisville, took on the Cardinals, and that game was a really good ball game. Unfortunately, Louisville won 72-68, but that game was back and forth. And it came down to free throws, and it was a really good job by Coach Alexander and that group. They had foul trouble galore in that one, especially in the first few minutes of the second half. So, you know, kudos to them to come out and play like they did. And, you know, they already won one game on the road against a quality opponent, which was TCU, beating SMU on the road as well. That was on that same road stand, road game. There you go. Yeah. and then they get a big win, or they lose on the road to Louisville, but at least it was just a 4-point loss. I mean, it wasn't like a 20-point loss, you know, a 20-point blowout or something. So, you know, good job by them. But either way, the Vols and Vandy will both play this weekend. Vols will actually play tomorrow in the morning. You know, they went up three spots in the polls, did the Vols. They're 7-1. They were at six. They're at the number six spot, but then they beat Gonzaga this past Sunday. They go up to number three. Of course, the Vols had finals, like most schools this week, but they will travel to Memphis tomorrow morning to take on the Tigers, who are 5-4 on the season, at 11 a.m. That game will be on ESPN2 or SEC Network, one of the two. And then the Vanderbilt Commodores as well also had finals all week, but they are not playing again until Monday on the 17th, again, until they play the 7-1 and 20th ranked Arizona State Sun Devils at Memorial Gym. That one will be at 6 o'clock on Monday. So if you really want to see a big this is a big game for the Commodores. The reason why I say that is that you want these quality wins. You want these wins where you're playing teams in the top 25, or you know, like a USC. You go on a road to USC, you beat them. You know, they're 1-1 against quality opponents, in my opinion. You talk about NC State. You know, they beat them 80-65. NC State was just hot as a match in that game. Vandy couldn't make anything. I think they went 3 of 22 from three that game. And then you look at the Pac-12 and how good USC has been in the last few years. The next two games are going to be big for the Doors to get some resume points. They got this game at home against Arizona State. Then they got to go on the road to Manhattan, Kansas, to take on Kansas State. And Kansas State's a top 25 program as well. So, all in all, it's going to be a lot of fun down on West End. They're 6-2 on the season. They're 2 losses at home, or 1 at home, 1 on the road. Of course, the 1 on the road was in Miami against NC State. And then the 1 at home was the game that Darius Garland got hurt, and they lost 77-75 to Kent State. But other than that, the Doors have looked really good the last two games. They got a 120-85 win over Savannah State, then the loss to NC State, but then they come back against MTSU and rolled them 79-51. So they're looking better and better. So hopefully that'll continue as they go into a pretty good stretch here in the next week and a half against Arizona State and Kansas State. Now on to the NBA. You know, talk about the Grizzlies. I mean, we talk about the Preds and the Titans all the time. What about the guys down in Bluff City? I mean, their record's 16-11, but hey, they've done a really good job, I think, you know, here in the first early going, especially defensively. You know, the Portland Trailblazers came in averaging 112 points a game. Well, they've must never played a team like the Grizzlies, who grit and grind, as that used to be their motto back in, you know, about 5-6 years ago. And that's what they did. Grizzlies held them to 83 points. Grizzlies won 92-83. Mike Conley, you know, scored 23 points, key to fourth quarter outburst, and a big win over the Portland Trail Blazers. Conley was questionable for the game, however, with left hamstring soreness. And a couple times, you know, you saw there, you could tell there was a little discomfort for him. You know, he running up and down, and limping a few times. But all in all, I thought that, you know, he looked okay. But they got a big game coming up tonight, actually, against the Miami Heat, who are 11-16. You look here, you know, I mean, this is the lowest outburst for a Portland Trailblazers team of the season. And the lowest they ever had before this game was 96 points. The Grizzlies held them to 13 points under their lowest of the season. So that shows you how good the defense did the other night for the Grizz. Portland only shot 36%, so that's really good right there for the Grizzlies. And then, you know, Memphis started off trailing by 11 in the first quarter, but then after that, Bickerstaff went to his bench, got a more spirited performance. Then he got a technical in the first. He complained about a no-call, which should have been goaltending. According to replay, it looked like it should have been. Gasol didn't have a very good day. He went 4 of 15 from the field. But other than that, I thought, you know, it was a really good ball game. I went back and watched the replay of that game. And so that it's a really good showing for the Grizzlies to show what they got, and they keep the lead in the Southwest for now over the Dallas Mavericks. But like I said, got a big game tonight down in the FedEx Forum as they take on Dwayne Wade and the Miami Heat. But tip off be at 7 o'clock, and you can hear that right here on WNSR 560 AM 95.9 FM with pregame at 6:30 right after the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show. Now on to the NHL. Big win for the Preds yesterday. You know, you kind of thought they might run away with it, but 3-1 and 2 shorthanded goals is going to hurt you sometimes. Colton Sisson scored with 1:55 to go in overtime to give the Preds, who are now 21-10-1, a 4-3 win against the Vancouver Canucks. Predators have won 2 games in a row after losing 2 straight. They have the best record in the Western Conference. The loss ended a 3-game winning streak for the Canucks, who tied the game with his 2 special teams goals in the final 4:05. Bo Hovatt scored a shorthanded goal to tie it 3-3 with 44 seconds remaining in the game. With Nielsen pulled for an extra attacker, Nikolai Goldobin took the initial shot, and Horvat backhanded the rebound pass goalie Pekka Rinne. Bolser scored with a one-timer from the above the left left faceoff circle with Vancouver's top power play unit, which they made some adjustments. Ryan Hartman got the Preds on the board early, 1-0 with 14:08 to go in the first period on a shot from the top of the right circle. Bonino made it 2-0 with 11:20 to go in the first on a shot from the left circle off a pass on the rush from Sissons. Jay Beagle scored for the Canucks on a 2-on-1 rush during a Preds power play to make it 2-1 with 4:35 to go in the first. Marcus Grenland intercepted a pass by Predators defenseman Mattias Ekholm and found Beagle, who scored his first goal for Vancouver since signing as a free agent back on July 1st. And Kyle Yonkrut gave the Preds a 3-1 lead with 8:55 to go in the second period when he redirected the initial shot by Kyle Turris, who returned to the Nashville lineup after missing 8 games with an undisclosed injury. So good to see Kyle Turris back. Can't wait to get P.K. Subban and the boys in the band back together. Hate it for Ely Tolvanen. He's done a really good job since they pulled him. But to make some room on the bench, had to get rid of someone. So he's gone back to Milwaukee, but I'm sure we will see him some more in the months to come. Kevin Fiala scored with 18:36 to go in the third, but the goal was overturned after Green challenged the coach for the Canucks, challenged for offside, and video review did show Fiala entered the zone before the puck did. Other than that, it was a really good showing for the Preds. Big win. You know, they just got past it by the skin of their chin. So good thing that they got a big win, and they now lead the Western Conference, lead the Central still by a game due to Winnipeg winning as well. So 1 point ahead of Winnipeg, 3 or 4 points ahead of Colorado. But the Preds will take on the New Jersey Devils. They're 10-13-6 here in Smashville tomorrow night with puck drop just after 7 o'clock. And, hey, if you want to get everything you need to know about the Preds and what's going on within the organization, what's going on during games, what's going on, you know, behind the scenes, check out Predneck Nation Radio. Comes on every day from 5 to 6 in the morning, every game day, as my dude, Captain Crazy Charlie, gets everybody ready. And, of course, the Renegades of Puck featuring the ultimate predator, the man so far in the future, Greg Mostradamus Moshopoulos, and Brandon Felder, as they bring you everything you need to know about the Preds on game days from 5 to 6 each morning and from 6 to 7 on game days after the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show. So they will be back on air tomorrow getting you ready to go for Preds and Devils action. So, but other than that, I mean, it was a really good game last night. I was down at Amerigo's getting my grub on. The pizza down there is fantastic. It's absolutely huge and absolutely fantastic, I'm just telling you. But either way, thanks, Donald Trump. Appreciate that. Hey, you're welcome, Jay. You're my biggest fan. Biggest fan. Either way, hope everybody enjoyed the show. We'll see everybody back here coming up on Tuesday. Hey, I love doing this. You know, you can just get to talk, get to do your thing, you know. You know, I'm a broadcaster by trade, so this is fun for me. I like doing it. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope everybody will tune in each and every Tuesday and also on Fridays here on WNSR.com. Don't forget to follow us at Nash Sports Radio on Facebook and Twitter, and don't forget to download the app. Hey, if you want to know what I do during the week, just follow me on my personal Twitter at Jay Henson Sports, or better yet, go to Facebook and just search Jay Henson. All in all, you get to see me each and every day and see what my 2 cents have to be. And it's not much at all. Hope everybody enjoyed it. See you on Tuesday, my friends. Have a great weekend.